in that position to make a decision. One person will take it, and I want to after this.
Do it, whatever
you want, only one person to save it. No, yeah, fine, that's all. Then, if I started one. First of all, noticing the turnout today, as opposed to most other minchas and musa, we've decided we're casting musa. It'll be a political session every day. And on a surprise, 2 days a week, there'll be like a lashon hara put in, so that that way you'll all have incentive to come every day. It's really gratifying to see how the olim can turn out on a some Monday, 3 o'clock. It's really gratifying. Moses, I want to go, a lot of people, first of all, I can't begin to express my hayrocha, my admiration for Olam. First of all, the chas and everything that went so beautifully, the fact that the Olam didn't do stupid things, didn't do crazy things, went about the business, learning everything else, a tremendous hayrocha for Olam. It really, really says a lot about the tzibur. But a lot of people have raised issues, and I wanted to discuss it, in a broader context, touch on a lot of the issues. Some of the issues, obviously, are no gap, private people's lives. I will try to be touch on just a very broad issue so that you're at least understanding a little bit about these things and understanding where issues come up and so on. Let's start with Das Torah, which was the primary issue, I guess. Let's try to understand what it is, why it is, where it is, and so on. For many years, every tzibah had its own, every community had its own little shtetl. They were a shtetl. They had nobody else's businesses to mind. Nobody had their business to mind. They had a rav. A bigger city had a little bezdin. And basically, that was the way things went on. There were very few sweeping issues and so on. Klal Yisrael, in its heyday, when there was Klal Yisrael, the Klal, had a Sanhedrin and had a Melech. It says Sanhedrin is a Shoftim, and a Melech, it says Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. And the Mefarshim explain, the Sanhedrin deals with specific halachas, like, the Rambam, from the beginning to the end of the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, whereas the Melech deals with more sweeping general issues that are not addressed by specific inyanim, that are negiyah to the Klal, that are ways of favoring one sector over the other. If you have to build a road and displace people, where to build it, and so on, that was all a hanhag of Malchus. Within the last 200 years or so, general sweeping issues started coming up. And these were not restricted to Shulchan Aruch specifically, but had a lot more to do with the Ruach HaTorah B'Klolius. And basically, parts of Klal Yisrael broke off. Parts of Klal Yisrael, people started having the following attitude. A Rav is there to paskin if the chicken is kosher or not. Anything else does not belong in the Tchum of Torah. Basically, if it's a specific, specific din, that's all where Torah applies to. Klal Yisrael, the Yireim and Shleimim, said that Torah is a Derech HaChaim. It applies to all walks of life. And therefore, any issue that has a shaychus to Torah, that has a shaychus to Das, falls under the clothes of Torah. And the problem with it is, since there is no Shulchan Aruch, how are we going to decide it? For instance, let's just throw out something I thought of. I didn't. Let's say you have a community. Somebody wants to build a big social place for young Jewish boys and girls to meet. And the positive side of it is that you're preventing intermarriage. There are a lot of boys and girls who would meet Goyim and they marry. On the other hand, a lot of people are attracted that it's a way for priests. Which is better? There's no Sefer Shulchan Aruch that's clear about it. And so the attitude of the more modern, which I guess would today be labeled modern orthodoxy or Mizrahi, as all was, if there's no Sefer Shulchan Aruch, that means the director of the social club should be the one to decide it. And he has a good taina, and that's the end of it. The understanding of the people that the Olam HaYeshivas and Olam HaChassidus are affiliated with is that on an issue like this, it's not the pshat that there is no Sefer Shulchan Aruch, but the Sefer is the entire Shulchan Aruch. You're talking about a shayla of his boilers between nations versus Chayvei Krisus. That issue has to be resolved somehow, and it's not just that the director of the social club can say my intentions are good. And the Mela, it began to be, the understanding was the people to decide issues like that are people that are completely shakur and taira. They're of a stature that their intuitions, their feelings, and their leanings represent what the Ruach HaTaira means. So if you go to somebody and his netiyah is Eisas Vashem, and you have to do it despite the price, that would be the right thing to do. Or he would say that you have no right to be a dayim, to be marshal people, no matter what the gains are, and you can't do it. That is what's called Das Torah. It deals with issues that are not Shulchan Aruch, but are in a sense, are greater than Shulchan Aruch, because they encompass all hanhagas. The way to paskin it cannot be with a Shailos HaTshuvos point by point, the way a halacha is. It can only be done by a person whose whole metzias is Torahic, who's of stature of a Talmud Chacham, and so on. That is the term appropriately called Das Torah. In the last century, Gedolei Yisrael got together and they decided there are a lot of klolistic issues that have to be decided by on this foot. This was a time when the world was going upside down. This was the turn of the last century. So b'meila they created Agudas Yisrael, which was to bring general issues that are negiah to all of Klal Yisrael, get a consensus of all of the Gedolei Yisrael at the time, and make that the position of Shleimei Emunei Yisrael. So that if they have a decision, for instance, the Zionists are building a country in Eretz Yisrael, joining them means we have a say in what's happening, and we are able to get a share in it. On the other hand, joining them gives them a legitimacy. Should we do it? Should we not do it? So the Mizrahi or the modern Orthodox said, well, there's no sifra shacharich about joining Zionist Congress, so it doesn't belong to Rabbanim anymore. And whoever is the particular head of the organization, probably well-meaning and capable fellow, says it's a great idea. So that's it. The people, the Rav Minya being the Israel, who are incorporated and was a good at the time, said that this is a decision that has to be reached. It encompasses the entire Torah, and they reached their decision that way. There is the Musig of the Das Torah, the way it is. Who are Gedolim is not an easy thing to resolve, and it's the Chaznish writes that Klal Yisrael has an intuitive feel for the Gedolim. In other words, people who have the general respect of the Klal of educated, I mean a Torah way, obviously, educated, Yirei Elokim, there hasn't been many disagreements on who belongs in the klal of these people, and there was a general feeling there. There's a mistake that people make, though, that Das Torah is one idea. Sat Merov was a gadol, and there was no question about that. And Rabbi Kotel was a gadol, and there was no question about that. There was a tremendous mutual respect, and there was no shaila in anybody's mind that the door stand these two people. They vehemently disagreed about a lot of issues in Eretz Yisrael. Satmar Rav felt that having anything to do with the Zionist government is a chil Hashem and it's a churma das. Baron held the opposite. If you don't get your share in, you're basically giving them koch. And every election, Satmar Rav would campaign vigorously that Leman Hashem Yarek Vayava not to vote, and Baron Kotel would campaign vigorously Yarek Vayava to vote. Which is Das Torah? They're both Das Torah. Just like there's a machlokes in Psak, and no one says that there's a problem if there's the Behuda and Kivega are arguing. It's not a problem. It's two dayas, and the question is how to be machri and how to do. In these inyan, the same thing. Das Torah is not one. There is not a Das Torah. It's Das Torah. The person making that decision, is he of the stature and the rank that he can make that decision or not? That is what Das Torah is, and there could be three Das Torahs. Now the shaila is, what does a person do when we're here, and we have to make a decision like that? And the answer to that is, I know in two or three elections going into Israel, when Agudas split into two and became the Litvish and Degel HaTorah, and it became the Chassidish and Aguda, Rav Shach said when people were asking what to do, if a bacha in yeshiva who was behed Chassidish bacha that belonged to a chotzer specifically, Rav Shach told him to go with his group In other words, if your vision's a chassid, and that's be'emes your metzias, then you have to do what the Rebbe says. And even though Rav Shach held not like that, that's what he said. In other words, a person has to belong somewhere. Every person has a Rav, a yeshiva, a Rebbe, a chassid, something that he's part of the klal of. And if he doesn't, that's a real problem. That's a problem. A person belongs to metzias, and he ties in and knots into that metzias, and that metzias becomes, so if a person has a particular shayla, then b'derechal, his Rav or his Rebbe or whatever it is will be the one to take him to the point that he feels that. If a person has at some time he begins to have a crisis of faith in his Rebbe, it's time to look for another Rebbe. There's no other way around it. I mean, if a person feels on and on, there are very strange things going on and all sorts of weird things, a person has to come up and say, you know, some strange things are happening here, I don't know what it is, I have to begin to disengage. A person can do that. But as long as the person feels this is his metzias, then what had happened here, first let's speak it on the level on, I'd like to speak about on this, on the Daf Torah issue, and then was, there was a genuine disagreement of Gedolim, of equal stature, not that I can measure the statues in particular, but let me call it two, let's call it patedinim in a broad sense of the word, disagreed strongly about what to do. And the people who are shaykh to one place should do what they're told to do. People who are shaykh to another place should do what they're told to do. And it's not a steer d'asar. That is d'asar because that's halachas. You know, there's no bez nagadol. There's no amidal minyan. No one can force it there. And anywhere else, the only, as long as it's between people that are of the stature that can make those decisions, it's fine. I know that two of the people involved, two of the gedolim involved, had a long conversation Friday. Not an easy one, but at the end, one turned to the other and said, "But this is not personal. We're talking about an issue, not a personal issue." And that was that. I want to just a little bit explain about the dynamics of what happened. And again, I'm trying to be very broad. It's important because some other people raised issues. Basically, what had happened was there was a family whose expectation was a daughter would marry a Ben Torah who's sitting and learning, a Kol Yom Gemara, a Talmud Chacham, a big Talmud Chacham. That was their expectations. She met someone else, and she decided that this is the person she wants and proceeded with it. The problem when one starts with family issues is they're very complicated, there's a lot of tensions, a lot of emotions, and a lot of people who love these type of activities. So besides the difficult and knotted and complex issues on a personal level, there are people that either are generally hot-headed or love action and so on, and enjoy stoking and making issues and problems. It boiled down to basically where some of the gedolim felt that since a person who wants to marry somebody al pi shulchan aruch is allowed to, parents don't have a say in it, one cannot try to stop it in any way. As long as the person shayva mitzvahs and so on, it's their prerogative, and even if the parents don't like it, that's not a reason to stop it. Other gedolim felt that the looseness and the ease with which a person if anyone was come to ask me, a girl, that she likes somebody, she saw somebody she liked, but her parents don't think it's good, I would very strongly urge the person to reconsider tremendously. Parents don't want, they usually know better than the girl. Parents, have expectations. The looseness with which it was just so, there was a strong feeling that it would become very easy for people just to meet somebody in the pizza store, tell the parents that the Gdolim Paskin, you can't tell them what to do, and that'll be the end of it. And it would slip into a real preachistic. And the right thing is that the parents are the ones that usually know better than the child. They usually have higher priorities. They're not so involved in the minute to minute. They don't get caught up in the momentary attractions. And Benela, those were the two issues in a broad sense between the two groups of people. The Rav Matisyo, who actually pushed the parents very hard to be masking to the shirach, but once it had spun out of control where they were no longer willing to deal with their parents, and it took on a tzura of people just leaving and doing what they want to do, at least the parent tzura, there was a strong feeling something has to be done to curb it, and even if it means one person will have a difficult time with it, but it's a shmira for a lot of other people. Other people felt that it's not right to take a shulchan aruch and to try to put a brake on it, even if it's for a good reason, because people will learn from it that dinim are flexible, and as the Beis Din wants, they do it or don't do it, and therefore better, even though everyone felt the best thing would have been if parents and children would have reconciled and found a way around the problems. The question was, which adifus do you give, and the two valid opinions, and so on. There's one more area, and I guess I think that I can sort of illuminate. I guess it's an important area that people don't understand. If a person comes to a Beis Din, if a woman, let's say, comes to a Beis Din and says, my husband beats me. So Beis Din has to look at both of them equally and say, listen, do you have any proof to it? And she says, well, he's such a smart guy, such a shrewd and mean guy, that there's no proof for it. So the only choice Beis Din has to say is Ein L'dayin Amashen Evroyes. We have to say that he doesn't beat you. You have to go back home, and we can't. If there's no shred of proof or anything like that, we can't do it. Let's say the woman knows that he does beat her. Does she have to listen to Beis Din? She definitely can pick us off and leave if she feels threatened, but she will have to suffer the consequences of Beis Din. It's not a stira. Beis Din has to deal with reality as they see it. If they'd be subjective, it'd be impossible to ever be done fairly. On the other hand, so if someone comes to me that I believe in very strongly and says the situation at home is that it's impossible for me to get along with my parents, they make life miserable for me, etc., anything like that, or my wife beats me, my husband beats me, or whatever it is. So as a personal friend, I could advise the person and say, listen, whatever the consequences are, you have to pick yourself up and go. And Beis Din will be justified. Someone once came to me and complained, if somebody that whose parents had been in a very, very, very difficult divorce, and his mother had suffered the harsh end of the psak din arrangement, and I would try to help her, whatever issues she had, I would try to help her, in personal life. The son came to me with a taina. How could Beis Din not see that the father was wrong and the mother was right? And I told him, you're talking to me, your mother's talking to me, I'm talking to you as a friend. If I was sitting in Beis Din, I'd feel the same way. If you can't prove it in Beis Din, the halacha is in a dying, almost in a prayer. The intuition of a dying can only in certain cases, you can drop it, a din merumah, but you can't base the judgment on intuition. You have to base, and if you don't have evidence, it's a problem, but there's no other ace of it. I know when people come to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and ask him Eitzes and Dinei Mamonis, Reb Chaim Kanievsky always says, if all the facts are there exactly the way you said them, this would be the halacha. But I am not at all sure the facts are the way you said them, and B, there's no way you can quote me to someone else. If I go to Adam Gadol and ask him, and that's why, in this case, I was misguided with the person that I go to for Das Torah, and I'm able to have an open door by him and talk over the Indian. I couldn't quote him because I was the only one that spoke to him. And he told, he said, he's not sitting as a Beis Din either. I'm telling the facts and asking for advice. His advice is, if my facts are all in place and all correct, this is true. And it's an important thing people don't realize. So sometimes what will happen is somebody will come to Adam Gadol who's close to him or to a Rav or somebody and say, this is the situation. And the person will say, you've got no aid, so you've got to do A or B or C. Run away from home, don't run away from home, get divorced, don't get divorced. The person doesn't really have a koyach Beis Din to back him. And when a Beis Din comes down hard on him, they're both right. The Beis Din is right because Ein L'dayin Amashen Evroyes, and this was a lot of it was this situation. The people who came out with a strong drive that try to reconcile things, that was the things that were with Fnei and Nahum pointed that's the right direction. The people not like that felt they had a stronger sense of it, and Bimela, there was a sense that the adif is one way or another. But that's part of the metzias of it. The dayan can only judge by what he sees. One of the big problems in all these yanim is there are a lot of people that love this type of stuff, and it takes on a life of its own, and people get involved and chew on this stuff, and it multiplies and ripples, especially if it's a very charged emotional issue. So a lot of what you saw, Rav Solomon was very surprised at the circulation the pamphlet had. He had intended it for very few people that he felt was no gear to. He didn't mean to make a mass mailing out of it and so on. But it takes on these things, take on life on their own. So let me just recap at least the inyanim the way I can explain them. First of all, Das Torah means that the anhag of Klal Yisrael on the broad issues should be done by G'dayle Torah and Yira. Secondly, there can be machlokas in it. Like there's machlokas in Halacha, there's machlokas in these inyanim, and it's the same Elav El Divikim Chaim. As long as the person is doing it by someone who's of stature to do it, he's doing Alpi Das Torah. Not Alpi Das Torah means doing by what the executive director feels is appropriate, rather than someone who's coming with a Torahic approach. In Pratistik inyanim like these, there's another issue, since it's very personal things and so on. There's the Ein L'dayna Mashen Avroya Sinyanim, and people, you know, and you have to understand, sometimes a Rav will give advice and he'll say, don't quote me, meaning I haven't seen the case on both sides and I haven't seen the information firsthand and so on. But if you ask me advice, the way you're telling me, this is right to proceed. And the issues involved, I believe, if I can sort of try to put it together logically, are the way I presented it to you. The smart thing to do is not to ever get roused or riled up by this stuff. You know, it's something that it takes on a energy of its own and becomes destructive. You know, just machlokes to machlokes. Everybody does what he's supposed to do, and that's it. You know, the leaflets with the anti-leaflets with burning the other guy's leaflets with the store down and him burning down your store and this and that. That all that ramification is real. That's where machlokes comes from. That you had something.
Yeah. Okay. A few things. The obvious spin off of what Rav Aaron is saying is that when the Stam Rav and Rav Aaron Cutler had a disagreement, the fellow is a meister with them. Probably you're familiar with the Rishon Chaim Zonnefeld and Rav Kook. They're not see eye to eye on most issues. Rishon Chaim Zonnefeld was the head of the Eidach Haredis, and Mr. Kook was not. And they disagreed on many different issues, very, very strongly. But there's a story which goes, sometimes they're sitting together by bris, and it's line back and forth, I discuss certain things, but they sat together by the bris. Like, that's the first step of the story, was they actually sat together by the bris, you know. We sort of picture, well, you know, the people who are arguing nowadays wouldn't join each other in any type of function. A machlokes is a machlokes is a machlokes in the world of day. It's not a machlokes on a personal level. So it means that the covet of a gadol, adam gadol, whether he's right or he's wrong, he has his own day. It doesn't matter. He's still adam gadol. What is perturbing is when the Hasidim of the Satmar Rav decide to start making fun of Rav Aaron Cutler, and the Hasidim of Rav Aaron Cutler start make fun of the Satmar Rav. He says, they're playing with Gehenna. You know, you're not a gadol, you have the right to make any dayas, you have the right to put somebody else down. This person puts you under his foot and his level of godless of being a gadol, and you can't touch him. It's important to understand this because you have a situation where things are going back and forth, and Baruch Hashem, they feel strongly for the covenant of their Rebbe, and they say a line about somebody else. You can't do that. You can't put your. What do you need to put your head in between two? There's two mountains crushing together, and you stick your head in. It's just a stupid place to be, and the result is you get your head crushed. Specifically, I'm talking about. I heard somebody talking about Ramat Hashem Salomon, like Ramat Hashem Salomon is like a cheder ingel. Whether he's right or he's wrong, that's not the issue. The point is, you have no right to talk about a person who's makubal in the Eilam of Terrors as an Adam Chasher, an Adam Godel. You can't talk about him like that. This is not acceptable. You can't do that. And that's what it means in Mazalz and the Kovet of the Tamil Chacham. And Mavaz the Tamil Chacham is in the Kerikov Mamhaba, all those wonderful things. It exists. Just because you disagree with him on a point doesn't mean that issue does not still exist. That's all. Bayes, which is continuation of that thought, is machlokes. Like you said, Ron said, there's these people who love the excitement and the whole the rip roaring of things which come along with it. You know, they like to build it up. Everybody has that. You get pulled in. Machlokes takes on a life of its own. The best way to have machlokes, to deal with machlokes, is not to fight. If there's only one side, when there's only one side fighting, it dies down by itself. As soon as one person, well, the other side says one thing back, so then it escalates and it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I mentioned on Shabbos when I spoke that I, here is where it was playing out. You know, the argument was being discussed somewhere else, but here is where it was being played out. And the response from here, from Rav Aharon, was not to do it, not to respond. That was the response. And that is the correct response, and I'm very impressed, and I'm very proud that's how Rav Aharon dealt with it. And I think it's a very big limud for the oilam that was the correct way to respond. He didn't go around speaking about, oh, Rav Matityahu was a who knows what, you know. He wasn't what he talked. So if the person on top is not talking like that, why is the person on the bottom talking like that? You know, why did he do this? It's none of your business why he did this. That's not, it's like you're not holding by making a decision why he put out the letter. Even if he did put out the letter, it's none of your business why he put out the letter. Who did he tell me what to do? That's not how he talks. Right. One person said that he called him, said to call him, so fine, so he did it. He did it as a mention. One person did call, he says, oh, you arranged transportation to the customer. He said, call him as a joke, go to the customer. He said, oh, you arranged transportation. Rabbi said, that's Gehenna. That's Pashtun, there's no way, that's Gehenna. And the Bizoyan, which the person did to himself by doing such a nice, it's all your manner. It wasn't somebody in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. At least not that I'm aware of. But the correct way to respond to is it dies down if you don't make an issue out of it. If you look at the history of many of the Machlokes which started spreading, so, had one person just kept quiet at that moment, it would have gone right. Third point is there's a concept called Danachat Shlus. I don't know what, seems like I've been speaking about this a lot lately. Danachat Shlus means a nevus. You can't have a fight and make a day and get upset unless you believe in what you're doing. Believe what you're doing means that you feel you have the right to have an opinion. The right to have an opinion has to be based on something. So the person who's been sitting in Taki, he's been sitting al Tarav Avoida for many, many years, he also has a right to have an opinion. A person who doesn't, where does he have a right to have an opinion? So what does he have to say? I don't know the details, and I can't judge somebody, I can't get upset. Getting upset means I judge that this person made a mistake. I can't judge that somebody made a mistake without facts in front of me. The same with the dying can't possibly have what he has in front of him. I have in front of me the X amount of information. So who am I to judge why somebody did something? I don't know the bigger picture. I don't know the issues. I don't know who spoke to them. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. So in the world of intelligence, it says that you don't express an opinion that somebody did something wrong without knowing why they did it. And you don't know why they did it because you don't know all the details. So therefore you just say, I don't know. And you walk and you go right through. You just leave it as it's such. I have enough intelligence to know that I don't know every single detail in the world, and I don't claim to know every single detail in the world, and I'm smart enough to know that I don't know every single detail in the world. So it's stupidity to claim that I think it should have been like this. That's stupidity. So Danachat Shlus in the basic concepts is a person being intelligent. It's a person being having an anivus. A person saying, I'm not going to take action or at least make a comment about something without having more information, which is many times impossible to get. So therefore I just leave it and I move by. The reality of that is it produces the step before is that you don't respond, which helps the machlokes not break out into something which it shouldn't break out into. And it gives a person ability to still stand with the harocha for a talmud chacham saying maybe he knows something which I don't know. And theoretically, if all the gedolim would always paskin exactly the way I want things to be paskin, that would indicate that their level of intelligence is mine. Then class would be in very big trouble. So when I hear that a gedol passes something against what I think should be done, the correct response is saying maybe I don't know, because if I would, I'd be the same as him. Remember, I used to have a scenario where you say, you know, I'd say, I'm going to go ask the Shabbat gedol. So what do you think he's going to say? He says, I don't know. If I knew, I'd be a gadol. And I'm not a gadol. So the flip side is that I don't pretend to be a gadol and say, I know what should have been. But we see this side very clearly. That's very nice. We don't see the other side. So We don't know what the issues are going over there. Furthermore, I think most of us are going to have very big nisyonos in the world of Kabbalah Lashon Hara regards to a family. There was a family involved over here. They did certain things, and we all believe them in Hashem, and they were wrong. How could you do this? How do we know why they did it? We don't know why they did it. Well, we know what happened because so-and-so told me what happened. How do you know what there's an issue of Kabbalah Lashon Hara which says you can't accept that? You have no right to accept that. So you have no right to judge them either. You don't know what issues they're dealing with. So the people at the upper level are dealing with issues and making decisions, but where do we stick our heads in over here and start expressing opinions, attitudes, vehemence and anger, which means we are getting involved with opinions which we have no right to get involved in. And this is what we, when we see that in a very microcosm of the issues which face, the challenges that face Klal Yisrael, and the issues of maintaining shalom between different people, and we start getting a picture of how things can get messed up, and the broken records, and say, so somebody came out and said a comment on Israel, then they come out and said, I never said that. He says, now what do? You can't. Meanwhile, you said it to somebody else who you don't remember who you said it to, and he doesn't know that you rectified the situation and found out the information, and you said a statement you shouldn't have said, and the result is a terrible result. Last but not least is I think it's a reality check for the yeshiva a little bit. You see, when I digress from I know somebody. Silver Spring has this the biggest mile of Silver Spring is it's the last stop on the 95. Richmond basically now just added on another stop, but we're basically the last stop on the 95, and we're pretty much out of the way. The other thing out of the way is you don't have to know all of the different things which are going on and be challenged with Donny Lechov's school on a daily basis. Okay? That's the mileage we have. And by doing that, and you sit in yeshiva, and you sit in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, the relationship, the way things function in yeshiva is very much b'sholem, and very b'shalva, and everything goes very nice, everything's smooth. And you have this picture that's the way Klal Yisrael looks like. Somebody from the one of the girls going from here to one of the very from seminaries in Eretz Yisrael, because they grew up in service being, not knowing so much about what the rest of the... So they picture that all Beis Yaakov girls sit and study Ramban by themselves at like 2 hours a day before they get the Rusa. And they came to the seminary in Eretz Yisrael and they found that it wasn't so. They're very, very disappointed. And they sit and they read everything Jewish Observer article and they sit and they discuss it, and that's what it means to be a good Jewish girl. Because they lived in this place where that... They were yechidim in a world which wasn't like that, and they developed a very intense relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and what's supposed to be right. And they sort of assumed everybody else was doing like that. And when they got there, they were disillusioned. And all of a sudden, we're set for disillusionment. We thought Klal looked so wonderful, and all the people in the yeshivas were black hats and rick tzaddikim, and they always nice to everybody else, and they never hurt anybody else. And now we found out that's not true. Oh, means. So what's going to happen now? It means yeshiva people are terrible people, and I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go hide in my corner. That's the danger which comes at this point in time. If this is my first introduction to the yeshivish world, and my bubble has been burst, so the nature of some people, after the bubble has been burst, the whole thing, I just can't handle it. The reality is that there are nisyanis in Klal Yisrael. The reality is that there are problems. The reality is that there are issues. That, and at the same time, I spoke about the reality is there's a lot of good, and a person has to let himself make the mistake of focusing on the elements which were wrong or bad and upsetting and don't fit the picture and just don't make any sense, instead of focusing on the elements which are tayyib and which are good. And see, he's made himself into a better person, and this is an opportunity which we all have to learn what to focus on. So a person might say, listen, this is all I see is the bad side. That's a problem. That the person has to understand that there is a phenomenal amount of elements of tov in the Olam HaTorah. And yes, there are problems in the Olam HaTorah. And we, as part of the Olam HaTorah, this is an introduction into that world with some of its issues. Some of the issues, the reality are that we don't have any one person who is the Das Torah. And we have, and that creates a tremendous amount of tension sometimes, and it creates people which say things they shouldn't say, and it creates people which look dressed like yeshiva bachurim and act like behemoths, and it creates a lot of things. Right? But that doesn't mean that there isn't a chashivas to the element of terror, and we can't focus on that. So overall, I think that the issue itself is obviously a very difficult issue and a very trying issue, etc. But in regards to what the gave to us, there's phenomenal opportunities of learning, of learning how to deal with issues, of learning how to deal with issues, the correct way to deal with an issue, learning how inside of themselves a person how to deal with attitudes, how to deal with questions, how to deal with an anivus about something. And I think that just complementing what Ravaram was saying about the kuda of the astara, that the correct way for a person to look for his hadrach is by his own Rebbe, but to understand that he has to have a racha for a different Rebbe, and he has to have a racha for even if that other Rebbe seems to be saying so much it's connected with what his Rebbe said, that he has the right, that there is two musagim of Remeir Talmidim and Retarvan Talmidim. Retarvan Talmidim didn't make fun of Remeir Talmidim, made fun of Remeir. You can't do that. So it's an issue for us. It's a growth opportunity for all of us. This issue. I think there's a lot that we have learned, and we will internalize and will learn from the Ma'ar which happens, and we get a little bit better picture of that. The Musig of the Creator, overall Shalom, which exists throughout all of the members of Klai Yisrael, is not such an easy picture. It's a rosy picture of the Yisrael Shalom. Remember, Vayas Shalom Aleinu, because Baruch Hu has to be the one to make Shalom, because it's not an easy issue to deal with all the issues. I think we have a better picture of that also, and that's a tefillah that Yisrael Shalom, Remember, Vayas Shalom Aleinu.